Be seated. Well, we'll be looking this evening at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12 through verse 17. First Timothy 1:12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, congregation, tonight is a night of thanksgiving, a night in which we have the privilege of witnessing God putting into ministry in an official capacity Mike Lotz. And that is a blessing to us as God's people. And it's a recognition not only of something that God is doing in our midst officially here this evening as a prayer of ordination and installation is offered up, but also a recognition of something that God has been doing for some time in Mike's life, placing Mike in ministry, using him in ministry, and you as the congregation have recognized not only those gifts, but that work that God has done in Mike and has called Mike to now through your election of him as well. And Mike, I just this evening have a very simple charge for you, and it, by extension to you as a congregation as well. And that simple charge is, Mike, as an elder, exhibit God's abundant grace. Exhibit God's abundant grace. This text, 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 17, reminds me of the story of Esther Ray. Now, Esther is spelled without an H, unlike our own Esther Rittenour, and as far as I know, she has no relation to our own Ray family. But she has a connection to a key landmark here in Indianapolis. That landmark is found right in the center of Indianapolis, and is well known to all of us, the Soldiers and Sailors Monument. But long before that monument that commemorates the sacrifice of soldiers and sailors in the Civil War was there, as the Indianapolis State Capitol was being planned and organized, two men, Alexander Ralston and Elias Fordham, were charged with planning the capital city. And they petitioned the state legislature for $4,000 to build the governor's mansion right in the middle of what we would now call Monument Circle. And like I said, $4,000 was allocated. $6,500 later, so government overspending is not a new thing in recent times. $6,500 later, a house was completed. Esther Ray was the first lady of Indiana at the time, married to the governor, Governor Ray, and she was taken on a tour of the house. And in addition to realizing that the house had been completed without a kitchen, she also, upon touring the house, said, "This is horrifying to think of my family's laundry hanging out for the public to see and gawk at." Consequently, even though that house was finished in 1827 and would stand there in Monument Circle for the next 30 years, no governor ever lived in that house. And we might understand clearly Esther's desire for privacy and sympathize with it, certainly. But it's interesting here that the Apostle Paul hangs out enough of his dirty laundry for the church to see in order that we might join him in giving thanks and marveling at the grace of God and also in giving hope to people like us. Mike, you too are called to be an exhibit of God's abundant grace. And let's just walk through these six verses together. First of all, verse 12, give thanks that God has put you into ministry. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul recognizes that what's taken place in his life is the good work of God. And Paul would say, no human, and me least of all, deserves the credit for this. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. He is the one who has done this. And I find him to be praiseworthy. I thank him for the good work that he has done. Mike, there are going to be moments, and maybe even tonight, where in certain regards you find yourself saying, what am I getting myself into? But recognize here that, like the Apostle Paul, actually that word in verse 12, putting me into the ministry, has the connotation of drafting me. That God puts his hand on men like you and says, not only you are mine, but I am going to use you in certain ways. And God has called you, and you are called to give thanks to Christ Jesus for this call on you. We go on then in verse 13 to see why Paul gives thanks. And first of all, we can see that he's giving thanks, verse 13, because God's grace in his life was beyond undeserved, wasn't it? We talk often in our theology about unmerited favor, and Paul here says, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, certainly Paul was undeserving of God's favor. Unmerited favor would be true for the Apostle Paul. But actually, what he describes here in verse 13 goes beyond that, doesn't it? Paul would say, not only was I undeserving, but I demerited the favor of God, right? There's a big difference between walking down the street and somebody walking up to you and saying, you're the kind of person I'd like to give $1,000 to. Here you go. That's unmerited favor and unmerited kindness. I didn't do anything to deserve it. Paul would say, that's not a strong enough picture for the grace of Christ in my life. It's as if I was walking down the street, spit in the face of someone coming at me, and they said, you're exactly the kind of person I'd like to give $1,000 to. Here you go. Paul says, I stand amazed, and I am Exhibit A, Acts 26:9-11. Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This is Paul sharing his testimony. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. I was not only a blasphemer and a persecutor, but I was insolent, I was violent, I was arrogant in my approach. Paul says, this is truly amazing grace, that God would look at someone like me and count me trustworthy, and that I would be numbered men like Moses, who had murdered, men like King David, who had committed adultery and committed murder, a man like Peter, who denied Christ while Christ was in his hour of greatest need. Here is Paul, men like David Hansen and the other elders of Southside, and men like Mike Lotz. God's grace is beyond undeserved toward us. God takes people from the pit and makes us useful and places such people in ministry. And for that we give thanks. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has counted me a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent man, and put me in the ministry. We see also in verses 14 and 15 that Paul gives thanks because God's grace is abundantly offered to him through Jesus Christ. Right? It's not on the basis of his merit at all. Instead, he says, verse 14, the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And of course, we give thanks not only that God would look on people like us, people in the pit, people entrapped in sin, enslaved to sin, but that he would extend this grace through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we might think in this regard then of the active and passive obedience of Jesus Christ, that Christ did everything that the Father commanded him to do, and he submitted to all the difficulties that providentially came into his life. Not only did he avoid sin, avoid unrighteousness, but the Scripture also tells us that he performed and carried out all righteousness on our behalf, that he left nothing undone and did nothing that would jeopardize our salvation. The active and passive obedience of Christ, he did a complete work, and his abundant grace then here that Paul is talking about is an inexhaustible grace, an exceedingly abundant grace which is in Christ Jesus. In particular, this evening, Mike, I want you to think about and reflect on the fact that God's grace is exceedingly abundant to you in a saving way, right? He's saved us. He's called us out of the pit, out of our slavery to sin. And so there's a saving aspect to the grace of God. But there also, look back at verse 12, there is an enabling aspect to the work of Christ Jesus. I thank Christ Jesus who has enabled me. And there's a sanctifying aspect, right, to the grace of Christ, a grace that carries us forward in the Christian life. And particularly as we think about your calling as an elder, we can think about this in terms of an enablement that enables you to carry out the job that God has placed on you. A term for this is office-bearing grace. Often there are particular pressures, particular difficulties that will accompany your work as an elder, and yet you need to believe and trust in those times that God gives more grace, that his exceeding grace is abundantly available to you, and that he will give you the grace to do the work that he has called you to do for the good of his people. And so we give thanksgiving, right? We give thanksgiving that grace has been given, grace that is undeserved, and grace that is given abundantly to us. We go on from there, verse 16, to see that this grace that is given not only for the benefit of the Apostle Paul, not only for the benefit of the recipient of the grace, but also is given in order that Paul's life might give hope to others. Paul writes, I was given mercy, I obtained mercy, not just for me, but that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. This is where Paul took a little bit of a different approach than Esther Ray, didn't he? He said, you know, I want people to know some things about my troubled background. I want people to know about what God has done for me, because I know there are people in the church who will come through the doors of the church. I know there are people in the world who will say, God's grace is sufficient, yes, for really pretty good people. But that doesn't include me. Paul says, no, God extended his grace to me, and I thank him for the benefit in my life, but I also praise God because I am exhibit A. I'm exhibit A to the church of, if God would love and save someone like me, would pour out grace on me, there is hope for you as well. And Paul says, my life then is given to the church by God as a pattern of what God's grace can do and what it does as he takes people who are awful and rebellious sinners and transforms them and uses them, not only sneaking them into the outskirts of heaven, but as he transforms someone like me from a violent persecutor into a missionary pastor. Mike, you're not going to be made an elder because you are less needy of grace than other people in the world, because you are a cut above, or because you need Christ a little bit less than the world's average. And so therefore, on the basis of Christ's grace, you can float a little bit higher. No, God's taken you out of the pit, and he's claimed you and called you and given mercy to you, Mike Lotz, to assure sinful and rebellious and lost boys and girls, high school students, college students, men and women, and felons, that God will be patient with you and extend mercy to you because he's done so to me. And that then leads us to verse 17, where Paul wraps up this little section by just standing amazed then at the grace of God. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. It would be a mistake if we said that tonight's service is a time of appreciation and celebration of Mike Lotz, or a celebration and appreciation for how great we are doing as a congregation. God gives good gifts to the church, and God pours out his grace on individuals and on us as his people in order that we might say, what a great and glorious God. Words fail us. And that's exactly what Paul says here in verse 17. What kind of a king is this? A king whose dimensions we cannot begin to grasp, to summarize. A king who is eternal, immortal, invisible, and alone is wise, who's deserving of all honor and glory forever and ever. Praise be to his name. And as we reflect on this, God wants us to respond then by being amazed at his grace. That this passage and passages like this are given that no one might sit here and say, no, no, Paul, you don't understand. You don't understand because I've done really, really bad things. No, no, you don't understand. I've really rebelled against God in the course of my life. No, Paul would say, if you're in that position of realizing just how needy you are, you, along with me, the Apostle Paul, can actually give thanks. Because for God to give you that awareness of how needy you are, when God opens our eyes and causes us to see how much we stand in need of His grace, of His mercy. That's exactly the best place for us to be. God opposes the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. And so if God's awakened you this evening to say, I'm the chief of sinners, I would like some of this grace, give thanks that God has made you aware of how needy you are. Is there dirty laundry in our lives? Absolutely. Absolutely. Does that mean that we necessarily want it hung from the circle of Indianapolis? Not necessarily. But I think we can say in truth, along with the Apostle Paul, if God would use even the testimony and the realities of me as the chief of sinners in order to convince others that there is a merciful and gracious Savior, that there's actually a God who can take filthy garments like mine and in the blood of Christ make them white as snow, then we would say, you know, I'm willing for the glory of God, for the glory of Christ and the proclamation of His name to have that known, so that others in need of grace might be pointed to that saving grace. And Mike, as an elder, God calls you in particular to remember where you've come from and to remember the grace that has brought you through God's faithfulness to where you are. And so may God give you the grace to be an exhibition in this congregation and in this community of His abundant grace poured out on you. Praise His name. Amen. Let's pray. Our great God and loving Heavenly Father, we rejoice this evening in Your Word once again. And we rejoice in the message of Your Word because as a people who are stained with sin, who struggle with sin, and who often have found ourselves overcome with sin, and certainly formerly and without Christ lived lives of blasphemy and persecution, lives of arrogance against You, lives of rebellion, we are so thankful that You are a God who saves and calls people, not just on whether they're above average in righteousness or not, but in fact that You choose people like the Apostle Paul in order that You might show forth the riches of the glory of Your grace to people like us. And so, Lord, we pray that our lives would be a pattern to others who will believe and receive everlasting life and will receive this same saving grace and equipping grace from Christ. We pray in particular that You would do that work and enable Mike to carry out that work here in this congregation. We want to thank You so much that about 10 years ago that a team from this congregation as part of outreach knocked on the Lotzes' door and that You brought the Lotzes here to Southside. And we're thankful also, God, that even decades earlier that You, while Mike was in high school, woke him up to his need for a Savior. We're thankful that we can attest as a congregation to Your work of grace in him and his faithful service to You. And we ask now that You would continue to fill us with joy as we rejoice in what You have done in our midst. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.